Marriage Today presents Awakening to War by Jimmy Evans.
This series that I'm beginning this weekend is called Awakening. And, the term awakening, and we talk about great awakenings in American history. There have been several great awakenings in American history in the 18th and 19th centuries. And an awakening happens after a time of spiritual apathy or secularism, a lot like what's happening in America right now. And when an awakening happens, like in the days of Jonathan Edwards or George Whitefield or D.L. Moody, those were the great men of faith that led these great awakenings in America. When an awakening happens, people come under conviction nationwide. It doesn't mean everybody gets saved, but it means there's a national change that happens when people come under conviction, they get saved, and they repent of sin. And churches fill up and churches multiply, and places of sin shut down, literally, in a time of an awakening. I believe that America needs a great awakening. I believe that, and I don't curse our government, but they're not the solution. Jesus is the solution. The government's not going to save America, and it's not their responsibility. Honestly, I think sometimes we get mad at politicians because they won't do the work of the church. It's not politicians' work to do the work of the church. It's great when the church and government works together for the good of the country, but I'm saying this, America needs a revival. America needs an awakening. And I think about my grandchildren. We have five grandchildren from the ages of 1 to 12. And I think about their future. And I think about the world they're going to live in. If Jesus tarries, I think about the world they're going to live in if something doesn't happen in America. In fact, I honestly can't imagine the world that our grandchildren are going to live in if something doesn't happen. And I believe that as a generation, we owe it to our children and grandchildren to do everything we possibly can to see an awakening in America today. It's the answer for what's the problem. So I'm just saying in this series, I'm talking about an awakening. I believe it's what we need, and I believe it's God's will for America. But related to the church, there are some very ominous signs that are happening in America today. And let me give you some specifics here of what's happening in America related to Christianity and the church. There are about 200 million non-churched people in America, making us one of the four largest unchurched nations in the world. Now, for some of us that are older, it's kind of hard to imagine that we could have fallen so far from being the number one Christian nation in the world to being one of the four largest unchurched nations in the world. Each year, about 3,500 churches close their doors permanently. Today, of the approximately 350,000 churches in America, 4 out of 5 are either plateaued or declining. Only 20% are growing. And those statistics are by Dr. David Olson. Most churches grow for 12 years and they never grow again. But in America today, out of the 350,000 churches, only 1/5 of those churches are growing. The 4 out of 5 are either plateaued or they're in the process of declining. By the year 2020, here's a graph that's going to come up here. By the year 2020, 55,000, this is on the left-hand side, 55,500 churches will close by the year 2020. 60,000 will be started by the year 2020, which means we'll have a net gain in churches of 4,500. But look on the very far right, it says needed to keep up with population growth, 48,000. There will only be 10% of churches planted. If something doesn't change, only 10% of the churches needed to keep up with population growth will be planted by the year 2020. And by the year 2050, there will be half as many people in church were in church the year of 1990. We're dying. The church in America is dying. That's another way to say it. Well, do I believe that that is inevitable? Absolutely not. I believe that the church is destined for victory. I believe that God loves America, and I believe it's God's will for the American society to be changed, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be whatever word you want to put on it. I believe that God loves America, and I believe the church is destined for victory. And you say, well, what's the problem? I believe we forgot who we are. I believe the church is having an identity crisis, that we have completely forgotten who we are, and because we've forgotten who we are, and that happened, by the way, in good times. When everyone was coming to church and we had a Christian society, the church just took a lot for granted and we stopped being the church. And we wake up now in severe times. We wake up in more secular times when there's a lot of anti-Christian sentiment in America today. And now we don't know who we are and we're getting our clocks cleaned. And that's what's happening. And this message is called, this is part one, it's called Awakening to War. If an awakening is going to happen in the church before it happens in our society. We're gonna have to figure out who we are and begin to act accordingly, or we're going to continue to lose our society. And I'm very hopeful, because I'll tell you, God's more powerful than the devil, and the church is the greatest force on earth once we figure out who we are. So every message I bring in this series is a hopeful message, and it's a solution-based message. Awakening to war. We need to find our true identity, and we're going to find it in the words of Jesus. One of the rules of biblical interpretation is Jesus' words are the most important words in the Bible. And Jesus' words define everything else in the Bible. And so we're going to look at Jesus' words related to the church to figure out who we are. And I want to begin by talking about the law first mentioned. In the Bible, there's a law first mentioned. And it means when something is mentioned in the Bible the first time, it sets the tone for that doctrine, that theological point, that issue throughout the entire Bible. The first time it's mentioned, it sets the tone. Let me give you two examples from Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, two things are mentioned which continue throughout the entire Bible. One is marriage between one man and one woman. Let me say this. Marriage only works between one man and one woman. That's God's design. Okay, that will never change. And David, Solomon, Abraham, there were a lot of patriarchs in the Old Testament that, had concubines. You know, Solomon had 1,000 wives. You've heard me say before, only thing dumber than 1,000 wives is 1,000 husbands. And it's ultimately why Solomon fell. But David had multiple wives. And it was always a disaster. It never worked. But what you see in the Bible is marriage is between one man and one woman, and marriage goes all the way to Revelation 22, the very last chapter in the Bible. The other thing you see in the Bible in Genesis 1 is dominion. God gave Adam and Eve dominion and told them to go take dominion over the whole earth and to subjugate it. The devil took our authority away in Genesis 3, and Jesus gave our authority back, and I'll read that scripture here in just a minute. So marriage and dominion, the first mention, is in Genesis 1, and the theme continues all throughout the Bible. Well, Jesus is going to mention the church in four different ways. And every time he mentions the church, he mentions the church in the same identity, the same manner. Okay, this is the first man in the church, John the Baptist. Matthew 11, this is the words of Jesus. This is verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied unto John. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. There's the age of Israel and there's the age of the church. And Jesus said, John the Baptist is the first. Since the days of John the Baptist until now, there has been a military offensive declared against hell by heaven. And the first man in that military offensive is John the Baptist. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, every time Jesus mentions the church, he mentions us in reference to war. Every time. Every first that we're going to read here, it's always referenced in the context of war. Let me tell you a little secret. We're at war with the devil, whether we realize it or not. Okay, we are at war. When the church wars, we win. When the church fights, we win. We are a warrior bride. That's who we are. That's our identity. We were sent by God. The church has been sent by God as a military outpost to take back everything the devil's taken away from us. But he only gives up by force. He'll only give you your family back if you're forceful with him. He'll only give you your mind and your health back if you're forceful with him. He'll only give us our society back if we're forceful with him. And when the church wars, we win. But when we lose our identity and we don't understand that we're at war, we always lose. And that's what's happening in America today. But the first man in the church, the first man in the New Testament, is referenced in the context of war. This is the first mention of the church in the New Testament by Jesus in Matthew 16. This is Matthew 16, beginning with verse 18. Listen to the context. I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus says, you're my church. The gates of hell You're my church, the gates of hell. The word gate there is the Greek word poule, and it means they're like a prison gate. It's a stronghold. Jesus says, you're my church, and the strongholds of hell cannot withstand you. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you lock on the earth is locked in heaven. Whatever you unlock on earth is unlocked in heaven. Let me say something to you. A stronghold is a stationary object. A gate is a stationary object that is there to keep some people out and some people in. And when Jesus talks about the strongholds of the devil, he's talking about society. Let me give you an example. The stronghold of poverty, the prison of poverty. If you don't think poverty's cursed, it's because you've never been poor. It is a curse and it is a stronghold of the devil. Sickness is a stronghold of the devil. Deception is a stronghold of the devil. Addiction is a stronghold of the devil. Corruption is a stronghold of the devil. But perversion is a stronghold of the devil. Divorce is a stronghold of the devil. All of those are strongholds. And Jesus said, not one of Satan's strongholds can withstand you. When you decide to war against the devil, choose your stronghold, it's yours. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. We are a gate-taking invasive force. That's who we are. America, we're frustrated because people won't come to church. God's frustrated because we won't go out to the people. People are behind prison walls. People are hurting. Precious people are hurting and suffering, and they're in bondage. And we're their answer. That's what the church was designed to do. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot withstand you. The gates of hell, whatever you want behind those gates. Satan has built gates in our community. And we need to be people. Rather than judging people behind those gates, we need to take those gates, tear them off their hinges, and bring those people out. That's what we're designed to do. Jesus is more powerful than poverty. Jesus is more powerful than sickness. Jesus is more powerful than sexual problems. Jesus is more powerful than all of those things. But we're the only people with Jesus. The church is the only group of people that know Jesus. We're the hope. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so I'm saying the church because we have forgotten who we are, we're building churches for spaghetti suppers and not for war. We're getting killed. We're losing our society. For 35 of 38 years, we've grown as a church. And I say by the grace of Jesus, number one. Because it's always by the grace of Jesus. Number two answer is we are aggressive. We will never get into a maintenance mode. And you notice that in my preaching right now how aggressive I am. I'm not aggressive because I'm against anybody. I'm aggressive because there are people that are suffering and going to hell, and it's our responsibility to go get those people. And I literally, all these empty seats in this room right now, there are 4,000 seats in this room, but there's a few empty seats. I want you to believe that this time next year, a person right now who's suffering and going to hell is going to be sitting in one of those seats. Please believe me for that. Believe with me for that. Is that those people, and I've literally had people before come up to me and say, Pastor Jimmy, when do we get to be normal? I mean, we're so aggressive, we're always driving, we're always doing this, we always have a project, when can we be normal? Answer, when hell is empty, I'll relax. On that day, I'll relax, I promise. But until then, I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at what he's doing to innocent people. I'm mad that people are going to hell out of our back door, and we've got to do something about it. And when the church is a gate-taking, aggressive, invasive force, we win, we grow, and God gets the glory for it. And when we don't, what's happening right now in America is what happens. And if we don't do something about it, we will be Europe in a few years, where the church is a fossil. The church is an antique. And we're not going to do that. We're the United States of America. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be the church, and we're going to export it all over the world. We want them worse than the devil wants them. Whoever wants them most is going to get them. I want those people worse than the devil wants those people. And we as a church have got to see people through God's eyes. And we've got to see what's happening from a broader perspective. There's a war going on, but we have been destined for victory from the very beginning. The birthright of the church is victory. And Jesus said, the gates of hell themselves cannot withstand you. We have been destined for victory. Here's the first mission. We looked at the first man and the first mention. Here's the first mission. Luke 10. The 70 returned with joy. This is the first time Jesus sends a group. besides the disciples himself, he sends a group of believers out to minister. Luke 10, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample, that's a violent word, on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the what? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The believers go out. Jesus commissions them to go out, and they go out and they begin to minister. And the disciples are just, you know, they're amazed. The demons are being cast out and miracles are being done. And they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, well, by the way, did you know when you were out praying for people that Satan lost his perch up in the airway? See, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And Satan's dominion happens in the atmosphere above the earth. That's why when Daniel was praying and Michael the archangel was trying to come down and get to Daniel, he said, there was a war in heaven above you because they didn't want to give up. They didn't want me to get through. And so above the earth, there are angels, but there are also fallen angels and the devil and his minions. Okay, understand this. Jesus said, when you went out and began to set people free, Satan lost his place in the atmosphere above the earth. When we're ministering, when we're praying for people, when people are getting saved, the devil loses his ability to have dominion over that area of the world. When the church is the church, the devil can't be the devil anymore. When we go out, but understand, they come back to Jesus. It's the first mission of the church. And they come back to Jesus, and Jesus says, I give you, listen, I give you authority over all, A-double-L, all the power of the enemy. There is an enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Aren't you thankful that we have been given authority over the devil? Did you know? Now, the devil's only going to yield to force. You got to be forceful with the devil. When the devil's trying to take something you have, or the devil's taking something you have to be forceful with it. But you understand, on any given battle with the devil, you win if you fight. So many believers are suffering today. And so many churches are dying because they don't fight. They don't understand they have authority. But Jesus gave us that authority because we're in a battle. How cruel of God to put us in the middle of a battle and not give us the ability to win. But we have the ability to win if we fight. The first mandate, this is Luke 14. A multitude is following Jesus, and Jesus is going to turn and tell them the program. Okay, this is Luke 14, 25. Great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Now, this is a comparative term. He's saying, in comparison to me, you can't love anybody like you love me. Okay? I'm not going to compete with your family. Whoever does not, this is verse 27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a military tower, this is a military tower he's talking about, does not first sit down and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so Jesus, this multitude is following Jesus. He's been doing miracles. He's been doing all kinds of nice stuff to him. And so they're following him. They think this is just the greatest thing in the world. And Jesus is, you know, thinking, I better turn and tell them what the program is or they're going to follow me falsely. I need to find out who's here for real. And he turns and says, are you ready to go to war? Because this is going to cost you everything you have. This is going to cost you relationships. This is going to cost you money. This is going to cost you everything you have. Because the church is a military tower, a military outpost in enemy territory. The church is a king going to war against another king. We serve a king, and that king is at war against the devil, the king of this earth. One king going to war against the other. And he says, now, if you're going to be my disciple, I want you to get that thought in your head. This is a war, and it's going to cost you everything. You've got to be willing to lay everything down for my sake, or you can't be my disciple. So we looked at four firsts there. Okay, the first man, the first mention, the first mission, and the first mandate. Every time Jesus talks about the church, he talks about it in military terms. And I'm saying to you, we're nice to people. We don't war against people. But as it relates to the devil is tearing our society apart. The gates of hell are being established in communities all over America, including our own community. And the church's responsibility, our mission, is to go declare war on those gates and on the devil himself and to take people out and to set them free and to get them saved. And when we do that, we win and we change the culture. When we don't do that, what's happening in America right now happens. We are the future of America. Whatever happens to America, the pen is in the hand of the church. And the only way America doesn't go through an awakening is if we put that pen down. I say we take that pen and we write revival all over America. Awakening all over America. We can do that. Let me talk about four things necessary for victory or successful warfare, and I'm done. If you're going to have warfare against the enemy and you're going to succeed at it, here's what it takes. Number one is hatred for the enemy. We don't hate the devil enough. Now, there's one person that God will allow you to hate as much as you want to hate, and that's the devil. But we don't hate the devil enough. Now, this is what the Bible says, 1 John 3:8. This is talking about Jesus. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus hates the devil. And you can hate the devil as much as you want to. I'm going to say this to you. If you could see the devil for who he is, you'd hate him. If you could see the devil's plan for you, you'd hate him. Because he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the evil that's happening in the world right now, it's not a person's fault, it's the devil's fault. And we exist to destroy the works of the devil. There, a friend of mine in Houston, if you've heard about what's happening in Houston right now, I preached last year for Steve Riggle, Pastor Steve Riggle, at Grace Church in Houston, wonderful church. And when I was there, the mayor of Houston, who is an open lesbian, she led the city commission of Houston to pass a law. And this law, it gives a man, I think it gives men or women, but in this case, it gives any man the right to go into any women's restroom or public facility in the city of Houston. And what it says is if a man is sexually confused or thinks he's a woman or whatever, all he has to do is put on an article of women's clothing and he can go into any women's restroom or any public facility in Houston, including swimming pool, locker rooms, things like that. Okay, so, some dude puts on a silk scarf and goes into a restroom with your daughter or your wife or something like that. I mean, it's eerie. And I don't believe that men do that because they're sexually confused. There's another reason that men do that, but I'm not getting that. So Steve Riggle and four other pastors in Houston opposed that ordinance. And the city told them you have to have 17,000 signatures for this to come to vote in the city of Houston. They got 50,000 signatures, three times. They wouldn't allow it on the ballot. City commission, the mayor, said, we're not putting it on the ballot, and we're subpoenaing your sermons. You turn your sermons into the city of Houston, and we're going to examine what you've been saying about homosexuality, and we're going to examine what you've been saying about, transgenderism or anything like that. Well, this caused a national outcry, and the mayor then rescinded it. She said, no, never mind. We overstepped our bounds. We don't want your sermons anymore. But there's still a contest to see if this law is true. Okay, so tonight in my friend's church in Houston, Steve Riggle's church, people are coming from all over America and all over Houston. His church seats 10,000. They're coming from all over America, all over Houston, to have a night for religious freedom in America, to get the government out the church doors, to keep them from trying to regulate us. Listen, I spoke for the Green family. I spoke at one of their businesses in Oklahoma City this year and met one of the Greens. This is Hobby Lobby and Mardell's, those businesses. And remember, Obamacare mandated that employers provide abortion-inducing drugs to their employees. And the Green family from Oklahoma City took on the government and won. Apart from that, some of you would happen to be giving your employees, mandated by the federal government, okay? So let me tell you what I'm saying. I'm not mad at that mayor. I hate the devil. I hate how evil the devil is. And you say, when will it stop, Pastor Jimmy? When will it stop? When will the devil be satisfied? When society is totally destroyed and all of us are rotting in hell, that's when he'll be satisfied. There's this law right now in California. And a little child can go to school in California, walk in, declare himself a boy or a girl, and cannot be challenged by an adult. And now they're trying to make it illegal to say boys and girls. Because if you say boys and girls, you could offend somebody that maybe is a girl or a boy and thinks whatever. You know, when I was a kid, it was so simple. They just did a quick check when you were born. You're a boy. You know, that settled it from then on. But now we have these politically correct people, and every time their, you know, boy looks at something pink, you sure you're a boy? Aren't you glad you weren't raised like that? Let me say something to you. A boy's a boy and a girl's a girl. God doesn't make any mistakes. And I've got another shocker, and that's this. A doctor can't turn a boy from a girl or a girl to a boy. They can only change appearances. Your DNA is what your DNA was made in the mother's womb by God. And we have a society trying to be God. Listen to me. I feel sorry for people who are sexually confused because an evil devil that has attacked all of us in our minds attacks those people. And he says to them, you're not a boy, you're a girl. He gets into their minds and gets them so confused, they can't believe it. And their deliverance is in the hands of a God who can deliver them from that deceiver. And I love those people, and I want to see those people get set free. But we have to declare war on the devil. He's evil. He's evil. He'll destroy us if we let him. And I am not ashamed of the Bible. I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of anything that's related to God. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't care what they think about me. We have to hate the devil. We have to see the devil for who he is. Number two is great compassion for people who are lost and hurting. Great compassion. This is Matthew 16 again. I say to you, you're Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth be loosed in heaven. Let me read you the King Jimmy version of that. On the confession of my lordship, I will establish my church, and all of hell's power cannot withstand you. As you find suffering people being held captive by the devil and set them free in my name, I will give you all the authority of my kingdom to set people free from the devil's dominion. Whatever you allow on earth, I will allow in heaven. Whatever you disallow on earth, I will disallow in heaven. You cannot be stopped as you seek to set people free. We need to see people for how precious they are in God's sight. And I'm not talking about good people. I'm talking about bad people. There are people right now that they're doing bad things. I grew up in this community, and I was a bad person. I mean, I did so many horrible things. There are very few streets in this city I can't drive down and not remember something bad I did on that street. I was a bad person. But someone prayed for me, and someone led me to Christ. And I'm saying, we need to see the hurt in people. And out 10-minute drive from our church here, there are tens of thousands of people who are suffering and on their way to hell. And we're their hope. Literally, we're their hope. We're the hope of them hearing the gospel. We're the hope of them being set free. And if we're going to fight and win, we have to see the devil for who he is, but we have to see people for how precious they are in God's sight. Number three, I'm done. Committed cooperative partnership with believers. Jesus never sent people out by themselves. Jesus always sent them out as a group. And I'm saying, we need each other. And the more severe things become in the world, the more we need church. We need fellowship with other believers. But the devil wants to get us isolated. He wants us off by ourselves so he can beat all of us there. Number four is my last point. A willingness to pay the price for victory. Jesus said, if you're going to build that tower, you have to first sit down and you have to count the cost, or you're going to go to war and you're going to lose.
This concludes session one. Please continue with Awakening to Purpose, the next teaching in this series.